The Great Chapter, Part 1, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Progressive Meditations. Mendicants, there are these 9 progressive meditations. What 9? The first absorption, the second absorption, the third absorption, the fourth absorption, the dimension of infinite space, the dimension of infinite consciousness, the dimension of nothingness, the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, and the cessation of perception and feeling. These are the 9 progressive meditations. The 9 progressive meditative attainments. Mendicants, I will teach you the 9 progressive meditative attainments. And what are the 9 progressive meditative attainments? Where sensual pleasures cease, and those who have thoroughly ended sensual pleasures meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where sensual pleasures cease, they should be told, Reverend, it's when a mendicant, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskilful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion while placing the mind and keeping it connected. That's where sensual pleasures cease. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where the placing of the mind and keeping it connected cease, and those who have thoroughly ended the placing of the mind and keeping it connected meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where the placing of the mind and keeping it connected cease, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, enters and remains in the second absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of immersion, with internal clarity and mind at one, without placing the mind and keeping it connected. That's where the placing of the mind and keeping it connected cease. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where rapture ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended rapture meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where rapture ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, with a fading away of rapture, enters and remains in the third absorption, where they meditate with equanimity, mindful and aware, personally experiencing the bliss of which the noble ones declare, equanimous and mindful, one meditates in bliss. That's where rapture ceases. Clearly someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where bliss with equanimity ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended bliss with equanimity meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where bliss with equanimity ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, giving up pleasure and pain, and ending former happiness and sadness, enters and remains in the fourth absorption, without pleasure or pain, with pure equanimity and mindfulness. That's where bliss with equanimity ceases. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. where perceptions of form ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended perceptions of form meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where perceptions of form ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, going totally beyond perceptions of form, with the ending of perceptions of impingement, not focusing on perceptions of diversity, aware that space is infinite, enters and remains in the dimension of infinite space. That's where perceptions of form cease. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where the perception of the dimension of infinite space ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended the perception of the dimension of infinite space meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where the perception of the dimension of infinite space ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, going totally beyond the dimension of infinite space, aware that consciousness is infinite, enters and remains in the dimension of infinite consciousness. That's where the perception of the dimension of infinite space ceases. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where the perception of the dimension of infinite consciousness ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended the perception of the dimension of infinite consciousness meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where the perception of the dimension of infinite consciousness ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, going totally beyond the dimension of infinite consciousness, aware that there is nothing at all, enters and remains in the dimension of nothingness. That's where the perception of the dimension of infinite consciousness ceases. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where the perception of the dimension of nothingness ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended the perception of the dimension of nothingness meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where the perception of the dimension of nothingness ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, going totally beyond the dimension of nothingness, enters and remains in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. That's where the perception of the dimension of nothingness ceases. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. Where the perception of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception ceases, and those who have thoroughly ended the perception of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception meditate, I say, clearly those venerables are desireless, quenched, crossed over, and gone beyond in that respect. If someone should say, I do not know or see where the perception of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception ceases, they should be told, it's when a mendicant, going totally beyond the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, enters and remains in the cessation of perception and feeling. That's where the perception of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception ceases. Clearly, someone who is not devious or deceitful would approve and agree with that statement. They'd say, good, and bowing down, they'd pay homage with joined palms. These are the 9 progressive meditative attainments. Extinguishment is bliss. At one time, Venerable Sariputta was staying near Rajagaha in the bamboo grove, the squirrel's feeding ground. There he addressed the mendicants, "Reverends, extinguishment is bliss, extinguishment is bliss." When he said this, Venerable Udayi said to him, "But Reverend Sariputta, what's blissful about it, since nothing is felt?" "The fact that nothing is felt is precisely what's blissful about it." "Reverend, there are these five kinds of sensual stimulation." "What five?" "Sights known by the eye, which are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. Sounds known by the ear, smells known by the nose, tastes known by the tongue, touches known by the body, which are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, and arousing. These are the five kinds of sensual stimulation. The pleasure and happiness that arise from these five kinds of sensual stimulation is called sensual pleasure. First, take a mendicant who, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, enters and remains in the first absorption. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by sensual pleasures beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by sensual pleasures beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That's the way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, enters and remains in the second absorption. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by placing of the mind beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by placing of the mind beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, with the fading away of rapture, enters and remains in the third absorption. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by rapture beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by rapture beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, giving up pleasure and pain, and ending former happiness and sadness, enters and remains in the fourth absorption. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by bliss with equanimity beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by bliss with equanimity beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, going totally beyond perceptions of form, with the ending of perceptions of impingement, not focusing on perceptions of diversity, aware that space is infinite, enters and remains in the dimension of infinite space. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by form beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by form beset them, that's an affliction for them. and affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, going totally beyond the dimension of infinite space, aware that consciousness is infinite, enters and remains in the dimension of infinite consciousness. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by the dimension of infinite space beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by the dimension of infinite space beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, going totally beyond the dimension of infinite consciousness, aware that there is nothing at all, enters and remains in the dimension of nothingness. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by the dimension of infinite consciousness beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by the dimension of infinite consciousness beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, going totally beyond the dimension of nothingness, enters and remains in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. While a mendicant is practicing such a meditation, if perception and focus accompanied by their dimension of nothingness beset them, that's an affliction for them. Suppose a happy person were to experience pain, that would be an affliction for them. In the same way, should perception and focus accompanied by the dimension of nothingness beset them, that's an affliction for them. And affliction has been called suffering by the Buddha. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. Furthermore, take a mendicant who, going totally beyond the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, enters and remains in the cessation of perception and feeling. And, having seen with wisdom, their defilements come to an end. That, too, is a way to understand how extinguishment is bliss. The Simile of the Cow. Mendicants, suppose there was a mountain cow who was foolish, incompetent, unskillful, and lacked common sense when roaming on rugged mountains. She might think, "Why don't I go somewhere I've never been before? I could eat grass and drink water that I've never tried before." She'd take a step with a forehoof, but before it was properly set down, she'd lift up a hind hoof. She wouldn't go somewhere she'd never been before, or eat grass and drink water that she's never tried before, and she'd never return safely to the place she had started from. Why is that? Because that mountain cow was foolish, incompetent, unskillful, and lacked common sense when roaming on rugged mountains. In the same way, some foolish, incompetent, unskillful mendicant, lacking common sense, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion, while placing the mind and keeping it connected. But they don't cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis. They don't ensure it is properly stabilized. They think, "Why don't I, as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, enter and remain in the second absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of immersion, with internal clarity and mind at one, without placing the mind and keeping it connected?" But they're not able to enter and remain in the second absorption. They think, "Why don't I, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enter and remain in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion while placing the mind and keeping it connected. But they're not able to enter and remain in the first absorption. This is called a mendicant who has slipped and fallen from both sides. They're like the mountain cow who is foolish, incompetent, unskillful, and lacking in common sense when roaming on rugged mountains. Suppose there was a mountain cow who was astute, competent, skillful, and used common sense when roaming on rugged mountains. She might think, "Why don't I go somewhere I've never been before? I could eat grass and drink water that I've never tried before." She'd take a step with a forehoof, and after it was properly set down, she'd lift up a hind hoof. She'd go somewhere she'd never been before, and eat grass and drink water that she'd never tried before. And she'd return safely to the place she had started from. Why is that? Because that mountain cow was astute, competent, skillful, and used common sense when roaming on rugged mountains. In the same way, some astute, competent, skillful mendicant, using common sense, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion while placing the mind and keeping it connected. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, "Why don't I, as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, enter and remain in the second absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of immersion, with internal clarity and mind at one, without placing the mind and keeping it connected? Without charging at the second absorption, as the placing of the mind and keeping it connected are stilled, they enter and remain in the second absorption. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, "Why don't I, with the fading away of rapture, enter and remain in the third absorption, where I will meditate with equanimity, mindful and aware, personally experience the bliss of which the noble ones declare, 'Equanimous and mindful, one meditates in bliss.' Without charging at the third absorption, with the fading away of rapture, they enter and remain in the third absorption. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, 'Why don't I, with the giving up of pleasure and pain, and the ending of former happiness and sadness, enter and remain in the fourth absorption, without pleasure or pain, with pure equanimity and mindfulness?' Without charging at the fourth absorption, with the giving up of pleasure and pain, and the ending of former happiness and sadness, they enter and remain in the fourth absorption. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, 'Why don't I, going totally beyond perceptions of form, with the ending of perceptions of impingement, not focusing on perceptions of diversity, aware that space is infinite, enter and remain in the dimension of infinite space? Without charging at the dimension of infinite space, with a fading away of rapture, they enter and remain in the dimension of infinite space. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, 'Why don't I, going totally beyond the dimension of infinite space, aware that consciousness is infinite, enter and remain in the dimension of infinite consciousness?' Without charging at the dimension of infinite consciousness, they enter and remain in the dimension of infinite consciousness. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, 'Why don't I, going totally beyond the dimension of infinite consciousness, aware that there is nothing at all, enter and remain in the dimension of nothingness?' Without charging at the dimension of nothingness, they enter and remain in the dimension of nothingness. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. they think. Why don't I, going totally beyond the dimension of nothingness, enter and remain in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception? Without charging at the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, they enter and remain in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. They cultivate, develop, and make much of that basis, ensuring that it's properly stabilized. They think, why don't I, going totally beyond the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception, enter and remain in the cessation of perception and feeling? Without charging at the cessation of perception and feeling, they enter and remain in the cessation of perception and feeling. When a mendicant enters and emerges from all these attainments, their mind becomes pliable and workable. With a pliable and workable mind, their immersion becomes limitless and well-developed. They extend the mind to realize by insight each and everything that can be realized by insight. And they are capable of realizing those things since each and every one is within range. They might wish, may I wield the many kinds of psychic power, multiplying myself and becoming one again, controlling my body as far as the realm of divinity. They are capable of realizing it, since each and every one is within range. They might wish, with clairaudience that is purified and superhuman, may I hear both kinds of sounds, human and heavenly, whether near or far. They are capable of realizing it, since each and every one is within range. They might wish, may I understand the minds of other beings and individuals, having comprehended them with my mind. May I understand mind with greed as mind with greed, and mind without greed as mind without greed, mind with hate as mind with hate, and mind without hate as mind without hate, mind with delusion as mind with delusion, and mind without delusion as mind without delusion, constricted mind, scattered mind, expansive mind, unexpansive mind, mind that is not supreme, mind that is supreme, mind immersed in samadhi, mind not immersed in samadhi, freed mind, and unfreed mind as unfreed mind. They are capable of realizing it, since each and every one is within range. They might wish, may I recollect many kinds of past lives, that is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000, 100,000 rebirths, many aeons of the world contracting, many aeons of the world expanding, many aeons of the world contracting and expanding. They remember, there I was named this, my clan was that, I looked like this, and that was my food. This was how I felt pleasure and pain, and that was how my life ended. When I passed away from that place, I was reborn somewhere else. There, too, I was named this, my clan was that, I looked like this, and that was my food. This was how I felt pleasure and pain, and that was how my life ended. When I passed away from that place, I was reborn here. May I recollect my many past lives with features and details. They're capable of realizing it, since each and every one is within range. They might wish, with clairvoyance that is purified and superhuman, may I see sentient beings passing away and being reborn, inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, in a good place or a bad place, and understand how sentient beings are reborn according to their deeds. They're capable of realizing it, since each and every one is within range. They might wish, may I realize the undefiled freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom in this very life, and live having realized it with my own insight due to the ending of defilements. They're capable of realizing it, since each and every one is within range.